Number 348, the first and the last.
348.
I can lead, I've heard him before.
Melt the cross.
singing, march me onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music, we the sun would in the triumph song of life.
Thank you. Lovely, thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome on this beautiful day to the United Methodist Church, House of Faith. We would like you, if you would, excuse me, to sign in on the red pads at the end of the pew in the center. And if you sign them, pass it on down to get the other people to sign and then pass it back to the center. And if you'll just use the first little chit that, but if there's a whole bunch or whatever, sign at the bottom one so that it can be easily ripped out or whatever. But don't tear them out yourself. Lauren likes to do that herself, and they don't get lost. This is October, and we have our October birthdays that we'd like to wish everyone. That would be Janine Porter, Sharon Hustis, Kathy Anderson, Mike Hinckley, Brent Rolfe, Barbara Forte, Mary Deem, David Will, Bruce Crabtree, Claudia Joseph, and Brianna Hinckley. And I'd like to add one, maybe two. My son, his birthday was last Sunday, and my new grandson should be born next Friday. The October newsletter is in the narthex. Grab one if you haven't gotten one. You can also have it delivered to you online if you'd like, so you can read it at your leisure. And we would like to invite you today to come in and join us afterwards for the pastor appreciation. And there will be sandwiches and cake and drinks and side dishes made by wonderful Christian hands. Christmas in October, please, if you haven't gotten one yet, get a Samaritan's Purse Christmas shoebox for the children Please include $10 in it when you return it for the shipping and handling. It's coming quick. I haven't quite finished mine yet either. Do you like to read? Please join our book club. It's a fun thing to do. It's the second Tuesday of the month. It's going to be this Tuesday, and they're discussing A Painted House by John Grisham. If you haven't read the book, come anyway. There's other things to be discussed, and you can join in anyway. We like people. And then our adult discussion is next week. We're not doing it today because of the pastor appreciation. But it will be The Killing of Jesus. And it's a long one, per se. And so we're going to have a potluck while we do that. Come and join us. It's a lot of, you know, it's really good. Deb has picked out some great things for us to look at and discuss. And the next pastor's luncheon will be November 13th at noon at Golden Corral. This is a different place. It's on Hospitality in Waterman. The price is $15 still. And we'll meet in the parking lot at 11:30. Here, if you need a ride, sign up in the hall at the script table. And you can always buy script while you're doing them. So, and then the altar flowers are very special today. They were donated by David and Rachel Moore in memory of Lori Moore. And they are beautiful. They're lilies and roses. It's gorgeous. And I think that's it, unless anybody else has one. And now it is time for the call to worship. Stand if you are able. I'm sorry, I'm a little disorganized today. I don't know why. Anyway, here we go. May the Lord fill your heart with joy and your mind with purity. May the Lord grant you peace that passes all human understanding. May the Lord bestow upon you the wisdom to be content in any and every situation. May the Lord meet all your need according to the riches of his glory. And our song is Stand Up for Jesus, number 514, 1 through 3. Like to pass the peace with your neighbors. Welcome, everybody. Okay, now would be the time for our joys and concerns.
All right, let's welcome all those faithful worshipers on Zoom.
So glad to see you, Helen. Now we can see you today. So good to see you. And welcome Junen, Joyce, and George. So good to see you. Bill and April. And we have one on iPad, welcome, and Alicia, welcome.
Can I butt in? Mm-hmm. I have a bit of a concern in asking for prayers because that grandson that's going to be coming this week, they're going to induce him because the mother has very high blood pressure and endometriosis or whatever that is. And I know what my other grandson had to be induced and it took like 2 days, so... just that everything will go well, and her name is Taryn Blasnick. Thank you.
I have a couple things to start with. First of all, I got a text from Edna. Her brother passed away, so we'd like prayers for Edna and her family. I think they're going to try and go back to the Philippines to be with the family. I also have two neighbors, Rich and Nancy. Nancy had a heart attack last week and wasn't expecting it, and they took her into surgery and gave her 2 stents. But it was a silent heart attack, and apparently women are more prone to that. But I just ask for prayers for her, and also her husband has wounds on his feet that aren't healing, and he's gonna see a wound care specialist, but they're both going through medical stuff right now. So I'd ask for your prayers for Rich and Nancy.
I have the great honor of having my grandson, Eric Castaneda, who has come to stay with Grandma and Grandpa and help us. It's different having not a teenager, but a young man come and live with you and help you and do all the things you thought you could do, that he's got the muscle to do it, and he will be living with us, and it's a great blessing. Ron's going to tell you the torture from hell that he went through for his surgery.
Well, it's probably not that bad. I finally got the surgery done. That's the positive thing. I was due Thursday, and I kept waiting and waiting for them to tell me what time my appointment was. So on Wednesday afternoon at about 1 o'clock, I finally got the call, and they says, we may have to cancel you out. Now, I was canceled out in July. And they said, it's up to you, because I have a problem with one of the valves in my heart. It's nothing, I wouldn't call it life-threatening, but something they want to fix someday. They says, because of that problem, we can't put you out. If you want to get it done, the surgeon has agreed to do it under local anesthetic. And I just, so sick and tired of this, I says, yeah, let's get it over with. So they says, okay, be there at 11:45. It should take about an hour and 15 minutes. Well, I got there, and I'll tell you what, I will never, ever, ever agree to that again. I consider myself to be fairly pain tolerant. It took 3 hours and 15 minutes, and I have never experienced pain like that. The local anesthetics didn't hardly do anything. And the worst part, I quit taking my blood thinners about a week and a half before the surgery. Well, I guess I was bleeding pretty good because he had to keep cauterizing. Now that's the part that really hurt, about 30 different times. Now, I'm not trying to make anybody sick here, but it was horrible. And I told her, I'll never, ever, ever go through that again. If they can't put me out, I don't care if my eyelid drags down to my chin. That's too bad. But thank you, everybody, for all your prayers. And it seems to have gone very well. Thank you.
Well, we're glad it's all in the past and behind you now.
While Dave is walking to the back, if any of you would like to contribute flowers, beautiful flowers like that, like Rachel and David did for this morning, you can talk to Gina. Gina, if you would raise your hand, she's in the audio booth. She arranged the flowers for them. So you can ask her, and then she will do it for you. At a cost.
Okay, I'm Alita, and first a concern is prayers for Trudy. She has some medical issues, but also a joy in that her daughter is visiting from Tennessee, and she hadn't seen her in well over a year. So prayers for them. And I also want to celebrate, I know it's Columbus Day tomorrow, but having a little bit of a Native American DNA, I wish to celebrate the joy of Native peoples everywhere throughout the Americas, as well as our U.S. territories and all the blessings and culture they have given to our nations. Thank you.
Thank you. Gina has opened a florist shop from her house, so she's in an official business, and she does beautiful work, so go see her.
Hi, my name's Pat Shores. Allison has a timeshare in different places, but because of her not very good ability to get around, she chose to take a little trip out to Indio, because that was the closest one, I think, that we could go to. Anyway, Allison and I and her best friend, Angie, and Angie's mother, the four of us, went out to Indio for a four-day little trip. It was lovely. There was not a whole lot to do there, but that was the best part of it for me. And then we got home, and 2 days in a row, we got home Friday afternoon, and we went to see the babies, and then we went again yesterday. So it was wonderful to see the babies, and glad to be back.
I just want to thank Gina for making the flowers. Today is Mom's 8 year that she's been in heaven. And I just want to thank you guys all for your support for her cancer journey and for mine. Thank you.
Thanks, Rachel. Is there anyone on Zoom? Please raise your hand and unmute. June. You have to unmute, June. In the lower left corner, there's a little microphone that says audio. Click on that to unmute.
I might want to share. I communicated with Darlene, EJ Darlene. Now she goes by the Jill Darlene. She's She was a member here, became a lay pastor, serving a Methodist church in Idaho.
Iowa.
Or something like that. They're different state, right?
Midwest.
Alon, Jill's husband, also served as a lay pastor as well. And he's diagnosed with a cancer, and then he's been battling and slowly decaying. But Alon is still hanging in there. So we just want to continue our prayers for that.
If you'll join me in the unison prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, our faith is built upon a firm foundation that cannot be shaken, and yet our hearts are often swayed by instabilities and insecurities. Help us to trust in your steadfast love and to conquer doubt and disbelief. Grant us your enduring peace that wells up tranquility and thanksgiving in all circumstances. May we never be moved, for you, Jesus, are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.
Let us go to the Lord with the silent prayers. We are coming from all different areas of our life. We have issues and trials that we don't share with others, but God knows what we are going through. We have loved ones that we cherish, and the issues they are going through. We know what their issues are, and God also knows their problems. So let's bring them all together to the Lord in our silent prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we are so happy to be here in this beautiful sanctuary. We are so happy to be able to join together with the saints of God, near and far, and be able to focus on you, focus on your power, focus on what you can do for us. Focus on the victory that we will experience as we persevere. We are grateful for this refuge that we are given. We have a place that we can escape to and find peace in the midst of all the trials and problems, the turmoils in the world. We see you, O Lord, right before our eyes. We thank you for your peace that you give unto us, the peace that we cannot find in this world. Your peace transcends all our problems and troubles. So, Lord, we are privileged to be together with your people, to be with you,
and experience your Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. Our hearts are widely open unto you, unto your movement in our lives, and ask you, O Lord, to do it again. You work miracles. You gave us your powerful healing. You transform our problems into something that blessed us. With your sustaining presence and your blessing, we have overcome all the obstacles in the past and we have come this far. And we know that we will continue on with you in our life. So, Lord, empower us. Give us the assurance of your presence. We anticipate your miracle, your power, your blessing over and over again on our life's path. So we yield to you. We yield to your control over all the matters that we are dealing with. Because you have the full control over our lives, over our plan. And we know that as we submit to you and to your power, you will use us to bring good things in our life. So as we worship you this morning, O Lord, we pray once more that you fulfill your perfect and wonderful will upon our lives, upon this church, upon this community, upon our nation and the world today. So now we join our prayers, praying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And now will be the time for the young at heart.
Today's story is The Very Last Castle. Words by Travis Jonker, pictures by Mark Pett. In the middle of a small town stood something you might not expect, a castle. In fact, it was the very last castle. There had been others, but over time they had all been taken down or fallen apart or destroyed. All but one. For reasons no one could remember, no one ever came out, and no one was allowed in. Up in the tower, the guard watched the townspeople silently pass by. Then there was Ib. Every day she walked past the castle all alone. Every day she stopped. She looked up. She saw the lone guard standing stone still. Plunk. Since no one had been inside the castle, the townspeople had ideas about who or what was in there. Snap, snap, snap. Monsters, said Miss Wicks. Thud, thud, thud. Giants, said Alex. Hiss, hiss, hiss. Snakes, said Ib's grandfather. Maybe it's something terrible, Ib thought one day, but maybe it's something else. Plunk. The next morning, Ib walked past the castle. She stopped and looked up at the tower. No guard. Ib had an idea. She floated across the moat, walked up to the door, and with all the strength she had, knock, knock, knocked. Ib didn't stop running until she was sitting in her desk at school, scared and out of breath. Maybe Grandpa was right. She didn't tell anyone what had happened. Not long after, an envelope arrived. Inside was an invitation. Your presence is requested at the front gate of the castle on Sunday at noon. Everyone told Ib to stay away. Monsters, said Miss Wicks. Giants, said Alex. Snakes, said her grandfather. Maybe it's something terrible, Ib thought. Could it be something else? On Sunday, Ib stood all alone outside the front gate. With a loud thunk, the drawbridge began to lower. She trembled. She looked up at the tower, empty. She took a deep breath. Slowly, Ib did something none of the townspeople had ever done. She walked inside. It turned out Miss Wicks and Alex had been right. There were monsters, and there were giants, but no snakes. Welcome, came a voice, a kind voice. It was the guard. He removed his helmet. He was much older than Ib had expected. I'm the last one left. May I show you around? For the rest of the day, Ib and the guard, his name was William, visited every corner of the castle. Before long, they were pruning near the great hall. Snap, snap, snap. And harvesting by the palace. Thud, thud, thud. They ended up where they started. Why now? Asked Ib. All the other castles are gone, answered William. Someday I will be too. I want someone brave to take my place, someone curious. Will you help me? Ib thought about William all on his own. She thought about her family and friends outside the castle. She thought, and then she knew. Yes, Ib replied, but I have a request. In the middle of a small town stood the very last castle. Sometimes someone came out, and everyone was welcome in. May we open our lives and our hearts to each other and be welcoming. Amen.
Our next hymn is number 397, 1 through 3, I Need Thee Every Hour.
Bless me.
Scripture reading today is 1 Peter 5, 1 through 13, tending the flock of God. Now, as an elder myself and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory to be revealed, I exhort the elders among you to tend to the flock of God that is in your charge, exercising the oversight, not the compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you do it. Not for sordid gain, but eagerly. Do not lord it over those in your charge, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will win the crown of glory that never fades away. In the same way, you who are younger must be subject to the elders, and all of you must clothe yourselves with humility in your dwellings with one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like the roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Final greetings and benediction. Through Silvanus, whom I considered a faithful brother, I have written this short letter to encourage you and to testify that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. Your sister church in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you greetings, and so does my son, Mark. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So good to see you all. I pray that we will have a special moment this morning as we worship and listen to the Word of God. And as I shared before, I don't follow the lectionary, and I try to listen to God's voice speaking to me through many different ways. A lot of times God inspires me. Other times I go through a special experience that inspired me, but over the years, over 40 years in ministry, and I've been preaching all this time, I have learned that God used all those circumstances to give me the message that I need to hear, and also, at the same time, you need to hear. And today's message is about our spiritual reality with the devil in our lives, and I pray that we will be able to hear the word of God and be able to discern our spiritual condition we are in today.
An American explorer went to the African jungle to capture the legendary King Kong, hoping to generate a fortune. He searched for it for months, but no King Kong was in sight. One night, a loud thump woke him up. When he opened his eyes, a towering ape stared and pointed his massive finger at him. Overwhelmed by fear, the explorer ran for his life, and King Kong set off in hot pursuit. No matter how fast he ran, the sound of King Kong's pounding footsteps and menacing roar was only ever about 100 yards behind. For 3 long days and nights, the explorer ran through Africa and reached the coast. There were no ships in sight for an easy escape, so he realized the only option was to dive into the sea, hoping King Kong couldn't swim. But to his horror, the gorilla jumped straight in after him and demonstrated an excellent front crawl. The weary explorer managed to swim across the Atlantic and arrive in New York. He scrambled ashore with as much energy as he could muster, only to see the menacing King Kong still beating his chest ferociously and with steam coming from his nostrils right behind him. As luck would have it, the explorer took a wrong turn and ended up down a dead end with 20-foot-high wall. With nowhere left to run, he sank to his knees in despair and pleaded to King Kong, "Do whatever you want with me. Kill me, eat me, whatever. Just put me out of my misery." King Kong stalked slowly over to the cowering explorer, prodded him with a giant finger, and growled, "You are it?" Do you get the joke? Well, that was my message. The giant ape in hot pursuit of the explorer portrayed our spiritual reality, which we may not be aware of as we should. What is our spiritual reality? We have a spiritual enemy, the devil, who always tries to harm our emotional, mental, spiritual, and physical well-being. Peter's personal experiences and knowledge are very informative to teach about the common spiritual enemy for every believer, the deceptive operation of Satan and Satan's main purpose. Firstly, let us look at how bitter the satanic attack was to Peter. The apostles writing pastoral letters to diapers Christians was commonly practiced in the early church. As they endeavored to lay the foundation for Christ's churches, their letters contained essential doctrines, problem management such as heresies and immoralities, encouragement to remain strong despite persecutions, and so on. Thereby, the epistles, that is the letters, had weighty content. Peter wrote 2 pastoral letters, and his letters was not exception. He wrote letters to 5 areas in today's Turkey that contain serious teachings on Christian lifestyle in a pagan society, suffering in doing good, among many others. Think about the magnitude of his message. The 2 letters he wrote, the first letter was longer and more serious than his 2nd letter. So the first part of it had more serious messages, right? Now, in terms of the seriousness, the last part of the first letter in chapter 5 we just read was to be the most serious among all his messages that he wanted to communicate with his people. You know, when people write letters, when they write letters, they would usually conclude their letters with something more meaningful than anything before bidding farewell, right? So Peter put more important content on his first letter, and then his concluding part of the first letter was more serious than rest of the letter that he wrote. What did Peter end his first letter with? That's what we're going to focus on. Verses 10 through 13, as you can tell, are a formal ending of his letter. Verses 10 and 11 are his benediction. Verse 12, recognize Silas. It has a different name there, but we usually know it as Silas, who wrote down what Peter dictated. That's how Peter wrote his letters. Verse 13, recognize those who stayed with Peter, and ends with an additional benediction. So that's the formal ending, right? So the main part of Peter's letter ends in verses 8 and 9. And that's what the most serious message that Peter wanted to communicate with. To me, that's how I look at it. What did Peter say in verse 8? Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Why was this so important to Peter? Did Peter have any reason that prompted him to say this at the end of his letter? That's supposed to be the most serious message. It caused him a lot of pain to learn about how the devil operated in his life. He inadvertently fell for the devil's scheme in a couple of instances that embarrassed him terribly before Jesus. On one occasion, Jesus asked his disciples, "What do you think about me?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, Christ, the Son of the living God." After Peter revealed Jesus' true identity, Jesus predicted his suffering, death, and resurrection. And Peter immediately rebuked Jesus, saying, "Never, Lord, this will never happen to you." Jesus responded to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concern." Peter blurted out something that was in agreement with Satan, who plotted the failure of Jesus' redemptive mission on earth. And Jesus had to straighten out Peter. Peter's second embarrassing moment happened during the Last Supper. Jesus told Peter in the presence of the 12, you know, all the disciples, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to shift all of you as wheat. Your whole being as wheat. And you will deny me three times." You know, by that time, by the end of Jesus' ministry, Peter was recognized as the top leader among the 12. Peter was a man of pride, and hearing what Jesus said, he just could not tolerate. He assured that he would never commit such a despicable crime. But what happened? Several hours later, Peter fell into Satan's scheme and denied Jesus, and Peter broke down and wept
after his denials. Peter's concluding remark in his first letter gives clues about how badly Peter felt about those instances. Peter wrote the first letter, 1 Peter, around AD 62 and 64, about three decades after Jesus' ascension, right? 30 years passed after Jesus ascended into heaven. Peter, during the time, became the pastor in charge of Jerusalem church, the first pope according to Catholic tradition. But those two instances were unforgettable event and stuck out like a sore thumb to Peter. Those bitter moments reminded Peter of the spiritual reality that he, and then he learned quickly that every believer faces. In verse 9, Peter said, "Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering." The family of believers throughout the world include you and I. You and I are not exception. Peter was tempted. He fell for it. And we are not exception. Now let us look at the importance of spiritual discernment. Peter opposed Jesus' suffering and death because Peter respected and cared for Jesus and could not tolerate injustice that would be done to Jesus. What Peter said made perfect sense from the human perspective. But Jesus pointed out that Peter lacked God's concern. We often think like Peter. We are really good at understanding matters from a human perspective, but lack spiritual insight. Let's take an example of the church. We see attractive buildings, a lovely landscape, and a beautiful sanctuary. This is what people out in the community can see as well. It takes spiritual eyes to see if our church is firmly founded in the scriptures, if we are Christ-centered, if the church is filled with the Holy Spirit, if we are devoted to prayer. The latter is much more important than the physical appearances. So what does that teach us? The importance how we look at things, should look at things from spiritual perspectives. Let us be observant about how we look at things, not looking from Peter's perspective, but from Jesus's, lest we fall for the devil's scheme. Peter's blooper teaches us another important lesson about how cunningly the devil attacks us. In his own right, Peter had a pure motive, good intention, and a concern for Jesus. However, Peter was oblivious, completely oblivious, that he opposed God's redemptive plan through Jesus. The devil used a stealthy tactic to attack Peter, and Peter did not know. Being stealthy is how today's advanced military engages in battle. But Satan was masterful in deceiving and being stealthy from the beginning, and still is. It would be easy for us to discern and detect Satan's scheme if Satan attacked us as King Kong chased the explorer. But the satanic attack often comes in disguise,
when and where we do not put our guard against it. The most vulnerable area of this kind of attack is our heart. For Satan can sneak easily into our hearts. And our hearts are where we store all the heavenly treasures from Jesus, such as faith, joy of living, and God's peace. You know, if you feel like that, you don't find peace in your heart, you know what that means? It doesn't mean that God has not given you the peace. God has. God always gives you a peace. But you let this devil steal peace from your heart. Joseph Winger contributed an article, Our Call to Arms, in Discipleship Journal as follows. I was part of a church visitation team that had just spent 20 minutes explaining the gospel to a tender-hearted woman. When I asked her, "Are you ready to receive Christ as your Lord?" she responded, "Yes, I am." I said, "Then simply pray after me. Father, I thank you for sending your son." She started repeating, "Father, I thank." But before she could finish, her car, parked nearby, started honking. The noise of the horn was so deafening that the woman could not hear my prayer. We went to her car to investigate. We opened the hood, beat on the horn, and finally shut it up. Only then was I able to resume praying with this woman, but it was a struggle for her to focus again. Many Christians would conclude that a mechanical failure had set up the horn. It's possible. But I saw the interruption as a subtle demonic hindrance to distract this would-be believer from the gospel message. From a human perspective, the sudden noise was just a random event. But from the spiritual perspective, the devil in disguise was hindering the woman from having faith and when she decided to dedicate her life to being Christ's follower. Let us be aware that no one is immune from the satanic attack. Even Jesus was tempted. Let us realize Satan's purpose. Satan always tried to destroy our faith by planting doubts and dark spirits in there, in our hearts. Lastly, Satan knows the most vulnerable area is our hearts. Satan tried to shift our heart like wheat. Solomon said, guarding hearts is our primary task. Let us guard our heart by being alert and sober. Amen.
Now it's time for the offering. As you know, there's a plate at the back of the church, and you can also send your gifts and tithes into the office, and we're going to have some special music by Young.
To face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be when we rapture high behold Him, Jesus Christ, who the to face I shall behold him. For beyond the starry sky, face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. While rejoicing in his presence, when I banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened and the dark things shall be plain, face to face I shall behold him. Far beyond the starry sky, face to face in on his glory, I shall see him. Face all blissful moment, face to face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold him.
From whom all blessings flow, praise God, all creatures he below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of lifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Lord Jesus Christ, we stand before you with thanksgiving for all that you have done for us. We give you our praises. We give you our honor unto you. And bless you, O Lord, and bless your church with this offering of thanksgiving. And we recommit ourselves to you and to the ministry of this church as we give you this offering of thanksgiving. We ask you to bless it, that it may be used to build your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our last song today is Onward Christian Soldiers, number 575, 1 through 3.
The royal master leads us. against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Be the cross of Jesus going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host does flee. On then, Christian soldiers, unto victory. Else foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Be the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army, move the church of God. Brothers, we are training where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we. One in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. The cross of Jesus going on before.
Lord Jesus, you came down to this humble earth and fulfilled your earthly mission and defeated the power of Satan once for all in Calvary and gave us this promise of victory as we believe in your power. So, Lord, may we be victorious as we are engaged in this spiritual battle. And by faith, O Lord, we can overcome any hardships, any challenges this life brings unto us. So empower us, O Lord, as we go from this place, that we may continue to claim your power and your name upon our lives and be victorious. Send us, therefore, in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be afraid, God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Oh, He will guide you in all you do. Go now in love. And sure you believe, reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above. Oh, now in love.